Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would open your Bibles to the book of Acts. We've been looking at a series of people who were close to Jesus, most recently looking at Peter. And in the book of Acts, we find Peter taking a lead role early on. Acts chapter 1, I want you to see in this passage that it is Peter who steps forward out of the 12, verse 15 of Acts chapter 1. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120, and said, "Brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through the mouth of David concerning Judas, who served as guide for those who arrested Jesus. He was one of our number and shared in this ministry." Verse 20, "For," said Peter, "it is written in the book of Psalms, 'May his place be deserted. Let there be no one to dwell in it. And may another take his place of leadership. Therefore, it is necessary to choose one of the men who have been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us. For one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection." Now again, I want you to see in that passage, Peter is stepping forward, he's taking a position of leadership, and his appeal is to the scriptures. He says the things that have happened had to happen because God had already said they would happen in his word. And notice his view of scripture. "The scripture had to be fulfilled," verse 16, "which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through the mouth of David." The Holy Spirit spoke it through the mouth of David. That's where we get the scriptures. Now, I want you to turn over to Peter's letter, the second epistle of Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 16. "We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory saying, 'This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased.' We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. And we have the word of the prophets made more certain. And you will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Now, last time we looked at Peter, we looked at the fact that Jesus said to him when he made his great declaration, "You are the Christ, the Son of the Most High God," Jesus said to him, "Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but my Father who is in heaven." And what Peter came to understand was not only the fact that his recognition of Jesus as the Messiah was the result of divine intervention. It was a manifestation of divine revelation. God revealing himself to Peter. But Peter came to understand that all of Scripture is divine revelation. It is not just the opinions of men. It's not just a collection of ancient writings in which people tried to find meaning in their lives and in the nature of the universe. This is God speaking. That's the reason why when we gather to worship God, studying his word is central to our worship. Because our desire is to hear the scriptures and hear thereby what God says. My job as a pastor teacher is to try and make sure that the meaning of the text is clear. Not to add to it, not to take away from it, not to change it. Simply to try, just as a sound system is supposed to amplify my voice, I'm supposed to amplify what God is saying, simply making sure you can hear it. And we need to be careful that we examine what is said, whether it's by me or someone else, to be sure that it is indeed what the text says. Because I want folks to realize the power of God's word and the fact that the truth is here. You want answers? You don't have to ask me. Go to the scriptures. Learn to dig in and study for yourself so that increasingly, as you read this, you hear God's voice. That's the goal. Is it what the text says? Is that indeed true to the scriptures? Not taking things out of context, not twisting the meaning, not saying, well, I know it appears to say this, but that can't be right. Because, I mean, after all, that wouldn't be American. You know, if we come to the text trying to make it fit our predisposition, we're in trouble. But if we come to the text saying, God, I want to hear from you. I want you to teach me. I want you to feed me. I want to be changed. We need to be transformed, Paul says in Romans 12, by the renewing of our minds. So the first thing that I want us to see this morning is that when Peter took his position of leadership in the early church, he did so with an appeal to Scripture. And secondly, as he does here in 2 Peter, he made his appeal to the fact that he was an eyewitness to these things. It was not hearsay. It was something he had personally experienced. And I want to submit to you that if you are going to be effective as an ambassador for Jesus Christ, you need to make your appeal to the scriptures. You need to study the word, know what it says, be able to show people, this is what God says. This is not just my opinion. This is what God says. Part of the tremendous power of Billy Graham's ministry across the years was the fact that he was always pictured, characteristically, holding the Bible in his hand and saying, the Bible says, because that was what he was there to proclaim. He told stories, he told jokes, he had a lot of wonderful, winsome ways of expressing himself and bringing points home, but the point of what he had to say over and over and over again is, this is what God says. Now, there are always going to be people who do not embrace God's word. They crucified Jesus. So we shouldn't be surprised when we do what we're told in God's word and encounter rejection. That's not something new. The cross will always be an offense to those whose hearts are unchanged. But Jesus came to save sinners. That's why there is hope for us. And so as the gospel is proclaimed, God knows those who are his, and you see people who hear the message and they're pierced to the heart. And they say, as they did on the day of Pentecost, What must we do? What do we have to do? And then the gospel is proclaimed again. The gospel of Jesus.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus...
I want us to look at just a couple of passages very quickly in the book of Acts that give us a further window on Peter. Because we mentioned last time that even though God had done this miraculous work and revealed himself to Peter, Peter would go on not only to be greatly used, but also to deny his Lord, and then to be restored, and then to take a position of leadership on the day of Pentecost, and in several other settings, and then to blow it royally, as recorded over in Paul's letter to the Galatians, and then to repent and be again greatly used by God. So we want to understand that Peter, even as a believer, was not the Messiah. Jesus is the name, the only name in which there's salvation. But Peter is a wonderful, encouraging example for us of a guy who had a tremendous capacity to get it right and to get it wrong, and God used him. I find that enormously encouraging. So, look if you would in Acts chapter 2. On the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit falls, it is Peter who in verse 14 stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd and preached a magnificent sermon that is a model. It is a model of gospel preaching. He raised his voice, addressed the crowd, and said, "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. What has happened is exactly as God said." Now, in order for him to do that, he had to know the scriptures. But his appeal, again, as we stated earlier, his appeal was to scripture. He said, what has happened is the fulfillment of God's promise. This is just as was written. This is what God has said. And so he quotes the scriptures. He didn't pull a scroll out of his pocket and lay it out there. He knew the scriptures. He had memorized God's word. He had it in his heart. And so he was able to recite what God said through the prophet Joel. Verse 22, "Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, 'I saw the Lord always before me, because he's at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will live in hope, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet, and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet." Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." And with many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." And those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Folks, again, I want you to see in this section of Acts 2 that Peter's message was saturated with the scriptures, and that his argument that he made was that what God said in his word had to come to pass. What you have just seen is the fulfillment of God's promise. The Holy Spirit has been poured out, just as he said in ancient times through the prophet Joel. Then he goes on to show how Jesus' resurrection is also the absolutely necessary fulfillment of the promise that God made long ago. And he gives examples of how that promise was made through David. And I love his sense of humor. After he quotes from what David says about his body not undergoing decay, he says, "I can guarantee you David died and was buried and his tomb is here to this day." They know that. And he says, so what was he talking about? If the Bible says this and this is our experience, then what's going on here? He forces them to think about what God says in his word. And he says, I'll tell you the answer. It's Jesus. That's who David was talking about. Jesus is the one that God promised would be the eternal king, the descendant of David, whose body would not undergo decay. He was raised to life, and we are eyewitnesses of this. We know for a fact that Jesus Christ is alive. That is the second element that you and I must have in order to be effective ambassadors for Jesus. We've got to know the scriptures and be able to show people what it says, knowing that some will still reject, but clearly able to declare this is what God says in his word. Now, if you sit there and you say, well, I don't really know the Bible that well. Well, that's why you're here. You're here to be encouraged in studying and learning the word of God. But please understand, you're not supposed to be a perpetual infant. When you first come to faith in Jesus Christ, it is appropriate for you to say, I need to be fed. But as you learn to feed yourself and study God's word, you learn his word more and more, and you are now in a position to share with others not everything, but everything you've learned. You can share with them what you do know, and Peter did that. He made the appeal to the scriptures, but secondly, he said, we are eyewitnesses of this fact. I want to ask you, think for a moment, if you were asked to share, what do you know firsthand? What do you know firsthand about Jesus? What have you experienced in your own life? Well, I just think we need to go by the Bible, not by experience. I think we need to go by both, because the Bible explains our experience. That's what we see happening here. The people had just experienced something, and Peter, knowing the Scriptures and being filled with the Holy Spirit, was able to declare from the Scriptures the meaning of what they just experienced. So our experience needs to be understood in terms of what Scripture says. But if everything in this book is foreign to you, I mean, if you haven't experienced any of this, well, then you really don't have a witness to share. You need to be born again. If you know, I mean, you know, that your sins have been forgiven because God promised and you asked Him, and when you asked Him to save you, you know He did, not because I felt different all over. It was like I could hardly catch my breath. I mean, maybe you had an experience like that, but you don't have to. But if God gave you that certainty in your heart, I know my sins are forgiven because He said so, and I know He doesn't lie. How do you know He doesn't lie? I know. How do you know? Because He changed me. The things that I used to be so enamored with, so excited about, so determined to achieve, all that stuff suddenly didn't mean so much anymore. I want to ask you honestly, has that kind of change happened in you? From simply having an intellectual faith that says, yeah, this is believable and that I think is so, and yes, I believe that, to saying, Lord, save me. Save me. Because see, that's what I needed. I didn't just need some postulates, some theorems. I needed a Savior. And so when I asked Him to save me, He did. And you know how I know He did? Because He said He would. Well, how do you know He keeps His word? Because I know Him. Well, how do you know Him? Well, because I asked Him to save me. And you really believe He did? Yes. Because now that I know Him, you can't convince me otherwise. I know Jesus. I know He's alive. I know He answers prayer. I know He loves me. Now, I thought I'd look at some other passages here, but I'm not going to do that this morning. I just want you to understand the main point. And that is the example of Peter as a man who knew the Scriptures were true, because they are. God always keeps His word. And he personally experienced the saving grace of God, and as a result was eager for other people to know Him also. Have you trusted God's promise and received eternal life in Christ Jesus? That's really the most important question. If you don't know Him, you need to. Go ahead and act on what you do know and ask Him to save you. And I'll tell you, you yield your life to Him, say, Lord, save me. Take control of me. I want to be yours. He'll do it. He'll do it. He'll change you from the inside out. And you'll know. You'll know that Jesus is indeed our Savior and our Lord.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.